It's time for Field Notes, brought to you by the Montana Natural History Center. In the mountains near Arley, at Agnes Vanderberg's camp, near a loud, flowing stream, I made my first astqchitlqwah, cedar bark basket. As I peeled the bark away from the tree, the sound of the wet inner bark being torn off echoed through my ears. The freshly peeled bark and cedar aroma made me feel a sense of connection to my bitterroot Saidlish identity and our traditional ways of knowing. My elder, Patalik Pierre, explained that we must always offer gratitude to the cedar. If we want to continue having successful harvests, we must always show gratitude by giving an offering back for what is taken. It is a part of reciprocity and a holistic interconnectedness of all living things in the natural world. Western red cedar, Thuja plicata, are the largest trees in Montana. They grow throughout the wet, lower elevation forests in the northwestern United States. In Montana, they can grow up to nearly 150 feet high. Their leaves are one of the central winter foods for big game. Western red cedar has a peak production after 70 to 80 years and can live for 500 to 1,000 years or more. Tat'ayakan people use the ashtq, western red cedar, for dugout canoes, cedar bark baskets, string, fishing nets, smudge, and repellent. Cedar bark baskets, like the one I made at Agnes Vanderberg's camp, are ideal for food storage because the cedar is a natural bug and rodent repellent. This ensures that once the food is dried and placed into the cedar bark baskets, it will be kept safe for the winter months. Cedar basket trees are an example of culturally modified trees, or CMTs. In this case, identified by the large scars or strips of missing bark that Salish peoples use to make their cedar bark baskets. CMTs reveal the behavior of indigenous peoples and their gathering routines. Studying when and where the CMT scars appeared helps uncover the Salish ecological knowledge systems and culture. Dean Nikolai, an enrolled member of the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes, completed his graduate thesis studying behavioral archaeology, indigenous culture, and specifically how cedar basket trees contribute to the understanding of the cultural landscape. Part of his study included using dendrochronology, using the tree rings and growth patterns to date events and archaeological artifacts to study the CMTs. He learned that the cedar harvesting at one particular site occurred from 1962 to 1998. Further analysis revealed that there were overall similarities between the tree diameter and basket length and width. This study of culturally modified trees showed us both where and when the tat'ayakan were gathering, as well as the amount of bark they harvested in a given location. Salish peoples typically changed harvesting locations every few years to be sure that they did not deplete the resources. This provided healing and regrowth time for the plants, berries, or roots that were gathered. Recently, I made several bark baskets from red cedar, river birch, yellow birch, and quaking aspen. Working with each bark, I noticed the way that each bark varies. The red cedar made the sturdiest bark basket. It had many layers that I scraped off like a hide with a hide scraper. Then I pulled the remaining strips of bark away by hand. After finishing my large cedar bark basket, I went out and picked lloch, choke cherries with my children. I gifted my son with my first and well-used cedar bark basket that I had made as a kid. As we gathered, I reflected on my childhood and when I participated in these same seasonal gatherings with my elders. Teaching this integral part of Tat'ayakan culture to my children assures me that the next generation of Saedlish children will know our ancestral ways of being. For Field Notes, I'm Aspen Decker, a member of the Confederated Saedlish and Kootenai Tribes. Field Notes are brought to you by the Montana Natural History Center, providing natural history education for schools and the public throughout Montana. For information on upcoming events and programs at the center, call 327-0405 or visit our website at montananaturalist.org.